This morning. And happy early birthday to Sister Beverly Durrett. Hers is tomorrow. I don't know if she'll be listening in, but God bless her on her birthday. Brother Aaron and Sister Sarah, happy anniversary to them tomorrow as well. So God bless them on their anniversary. And then for a prayer request, remember, first of all, let me read this note here. I'm going to read this note from the Marunga family. The family of Mary Kamani acknowledges with deep appreciation your kind expression of sympathy. Dear church family, thank you, Brother Luis. We want to extend our deepest thanks to all of you for coming alongside us as we laid Sister Mary to rest. Your prayers, support, attendance, contributions, and the countless ways you offered help during this time has been a source of strength and comfort to us. We are truly blessed to be part of such a loving and supportive church family. Your kindness has lightened our burden, and we are so grateful for each and every one of you. May the Lord richly bless you abundantly for all that you've done. We, with love and great gratitude. Oh, love felt gratitude, I think it says, the Kamani family. So thank the Lord for that and for everybody, everything that everybody did. We have a prayer request here from Sister Alicia. Please remember John's dad in prayer. He has been sick and weak. Thank you so much. So let's remember Brother John's dad. Sister June, I've got vertigo. Needs to be gone before we travel on Tuesday. So remember Sister June. And then as we pray, continue to remember Sister Johnny and her daughter Tawana. Brother Aaron mentioned Brother Terry Tidwell's grandson, Kingston. He's in Children's Hospital, East Tennessee. Urinary tract infection and urine is leaking into his body cavity. So just remember little Kingston. Remember the sisters on the retreat and also all those affected by the flood and all the storm in different ways. Many were affected. I know in Tennessee and North Carolina in particular, heavily affected by that. Just remember all of them. I think that's it. And all unspoken requests, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for letting us get to be here, Lord, once again today. Pray you bless all these spoken requests and all the unspoken the hands were lifted for. And be with Brother Stephen, Lord, ministering for us here this morning. And give him the words to speak to us and help us to be attentive and hear what's being said. Bless all the Sunday school teachers and all of us in Sunday school. Also give us understanding of your word there. And all the other bride and ministers around the world this morning, Lord. And just bless each one, meet each need, I pray. Touch Sister Alicia's request here for Brother John's dad. Lord, be with him, sick and weak. Lord, just restore his strength to him, I pray. And continue to comfort all the Sister Mary Kamani's family, Lord. Bring them peace and comfort in the difficult time they're having. Help Sister June, Lord, to get better and get over the vertigo where she can travel. And I pray you be with all the sisters on the retreat, Lord, and thank you for giving them a good time. Touch Sister Johnny, her daughter also in Kingston, Brother Terry Tidwell's grandson. Also, all those, Lord, affected by the flood, thank you for protecting us all in the storm and for not letting us be ill-affected here. And pray to touch all those who have any ill effect from that, Lord. Just be with them. Help them in the recovery effort. And pray you bless all the other spoken requests. And we love you and thank you for all your blessings. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you as you're seated.
God bless you, saints. Good morning. Good to be in the house of the Lord. Yeah, we were supposed to be in Irwin this morning, but roads are real bad. So thank the Lord that all the saints at Brother Andre's church are doing well. And so just keep them in prayer. Brother Joe sent a video of the roads up there, and it's incredible. They're terrible. A lot of work to be done. So this morning we're studying, just continuing our study on what is that gene seed, and just kind of meditating on this weighty subject. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord God, we're so grateful to be able to gather around your word and come together with these precious believers of this life, precious faith. And I pray, God, that you'll be with us today, Lord. Encourage us, Lord Jesus. We're so coming with expectation of what you're going to bring to us today. I pray, God, that you'll help us, that you'll settle our minds and to prepare our hearts, Lord, to receive the word. Be with us today, we pray in your name. Amen. So we've been meditating on Romans chapter 9, verse 13. It says, as it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated, which is taken from Paul's quoting from Malachi that says, I have loved you, saith the Lord, yet ye say, wherein hast thou loved us? Was not Esau Jacob's brother, saith the Lord, yet I loved Jacob and I hated Esau and laid his mountains and his heritage waste for the dragons of the wilderness. And as we meditate on these things, we're thinking about how that even before Jacob and Esau were born, that God had them, had Jacob in his eternal thoughts so much to the point that it was an attribute of God waiting to be expressed. And if you lay that out in time, the word that's when we're hearing the word, it's actually expressing the thought that God had before the foundation of the world. So we know the seed is the word that's expressing the genetics of God. As you hear the word, it's actually expressing the genetics. As we're meditating on this, let's get in our mind that even before you hear your first sermon, even before you hear the first thing about God, but you are already in God's mind. Now that's the kicker there is, but even before you ever knew anything about God, that you were already in God's mind. And so that God predestinates based on his foreknowledge. So he knew that when you heard it, you would want it. And so he can begin to lay things out in place. And like Brother Ram would say, breed this one to this one, breed that one to that one, and work things out so that even before you heard your first sermon, that things are already working out because God knows that you would believe it. You can kind of see that it's honestly difficult to kind of articulate. That's why I keep stressing you got to sit under the old apple tree and meditate on these things, because we can preach it and teach it and those kind of things, but there's this aspect that we'll never be able to relay with words over the pulpit, that you just gotta, God has to speak to you and reveal these things to you, and that will give you a real understanding that you can just hang on to. Something when you've got to have a personal relationship with God. It's got to be God to reveal these things to you. And Brother Ram, like in the message communion, he would say things that are really honestly hard to understand about how he would talk about how when he was a little child, and I'm going to go to this next slide, and let's just think about this. When he was a little child, his mother and his father were, you know, alcoholics. They were not, he was not raised in a Christian home at all. But, and they would have their parties. They would last all night. You think about how he would say that they're having their drunken parties way into the early hours in the morning, and him not knowing anything about Christianity, but he just couldn't stand it. He'd go and he'd sit by the river, and he'd look down at the flowers coming up after the cold winter. He'd look at the frost. He'd look down at the flowers coming up, and he'd begin to think, "Oh, flower, where are you coming from? Like, why was after the cold frost has gone over the earth and we just had a hard cold winter and where is this flower coming from?" And you think about these stars reflecting from eternity into the river that he's sitting next to, and he would frame it up like this: there was another William Branham. Another, well, what does that mean? I've got here this picture. It's not like another person standing over to the side, but it's him in time. That the person that you are in time as a sinner is just a temporary thing. Who you're really supposed to be is a reflection, the expression of God's thought from eternity. That's that little moment in time where you were a sinner is just a blink and down here in time where it's not who you're really supposed to be. You're really that little boy sitting there running away from his mama and daddy, having their drunken parties all night, where he'd say, sometimes I'd go home and I'd lay on top of the roof just waiting for the sun to come up because he was trying to get away from all that stuff. That wasn't really who he was supposed to be. Really who he was supposed to be was that evangelist that would go around the world seven times and preach the gospel, that when he heard the word, it quickened. What did it quicken? It quickened the thought about him that God had before the foundation of the world. So now that's where we get kind of confused in our mind. There's two things that are happening. One is the seed is the word that you hear. But the other is that God thought about you before the foundation of the world. And when you hear the word, it's quickening that thought. So there's a balance there, right down between those two things. That's where I'm going in this little lesson. There's a tendency for us to gravitate toward one or the other.
Right.
And we'll look at that in just a moment. But let's look, in God's mind, in His thought, it's already finished. Amen. You think in His thought, He already saw all the way down to the end, and He knew that Brother Branham was not just going to be a child of some little Catholic or whatever, you know, that didn't know anything, just somebody sitting next to the river, not having any purpose in his life, but he was going to be called to preach the gospel, and he was going to express that thought that God had before the foundation of the world, and it was already finished. Just like in Revelation, where it says, "All that dwell upon the earth shall worship Him whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain before the foundation from the foundation of the world." So, God already saw that Jesus would die for our sins. He already saw that in Him were attributes that were going to be expressed. He already saw, and it was already finished. The whole plan was already finished.
Amen.
Now, that's a weighty thing to think that God already knew where you would end up, where you'd go to church, what you would be in life. He already knew. You know, we're stressing and worrying about things and landslides in Tennessee and all. He already knew it all, and He already had it prepared. He already had everything situated for you, and He already had the word ready for you, that knowing that as soon as you heard it, you would want it. So the view from eternity is that a Christian doesn't become God's child only at the moment of their rebirth, but rather the new birth manifests in time what was always true. It's always true. That's why Paul would say in Galatians 4:9, "Because ye are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father." In John chapter 10, he said, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them. And they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand." Which is why Jesus could go around with knowledge and call each one, all of his disciples, by name, having known them before the foundation of the world. Not going to Matthew, the little tax collector, by chance. "Well, I hope he's going to follow me. I hope he's going to want me more than all that money he's getting by being a tax collector and working for the Roman Empire." No, he knew that as soon as he presented him with the word, he was going to want it. So Brother Brown was saying the invisible union of the bride of Christ. He said, before there even was a moon, stars, or a molecule, you are already sons and daughters of God. For you are only the physical manifestation of the attributes that was in God at the beginning. And in Christ is revealed in His own word. He said, if we are sons and daughters of God, then we are attributes of God. Then we got eternal life. And God is the only eternal life there is. Then we were in Him from the beginning. And when Jesus became all that word, then we were a part of Him then. There you are. When that's in there, there is no devil, no powers, no nothing can ever move it. That's the tie post of the soul. Now, you begin to realize that's the reason why sometimes at camp meetings and youth meetings, these quotes are preached, even though maybe the young people don't really fully understand all the technicalities and things. There's a power in understanding that God thought about you before the foundation of the world. And when you really catch it, but just even partly, it begins to open up to you. It will bring liberty in somebody's life to think that there's a plan, there's a purpose in your life, and that your little sin journey and all the things that you go through, there's something beyond that. Like Brother Branham sitting there next to the river, there's a greater purpose than just running away from. You start thinking about, you know, when I was a kid, I didn't like going to the skating rink. We'd go to the skating rink and they'd be playing that rock music, and you're just like, I don't like it. There's something working there, and that because there's a greater purpose for your life than just that kind of stuff. In the Smyrnian church age, Brother Brown would say, it's not the person that comes predestinated eternally from God. It is the word or seed. That is it. Way back there, too far back for the human mind to grasp. the eternal God with eternal thoughts, thought, and decree, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. In other words, we're nothing without the word. When he sent his word so that it would catch us up into the plan and purpose of our life. And you're not going to be, there's no purpose in your life if you don't hear the word and respond to it. So it's not that sinful person that's predestinated, but it's the word that is predestinated eternally. So when you hear the word and you respond to it, you're caught up into the plan and purpose of God that he thought of before the foundation of the world. But he always knew that you would want it. So he knew you were going to respond to it. So he was able to predestinate that way. He said, see, it was the thought. Now, that's really the key of the whole thing. It was the thought. And then that thought became expressed, and God bought back Jacob because Jacob alone was seed. Jacob alone had the seed. That is why he had respect to the birthright and covenant of God. If you are true seed, you will hear that word. The Spirit will baptize you into the body of Christ, filling you and empowering you, and you will receive the word for your day and age. See how clear the true evidence becomes when the word is revealed to you. So God's eternal purpose and decree predestinates the word within specific individuals for certain plans, not just a person in isolation. The focus is not on predestining individuals arbitrarily, but on predestining the word that they will ultimately receive and live by. So that means that the life that we're living right now is the thought that God had before the foundation of the world. Amen. And how is the thought expressed? Well, a word is a thought expressed. So the word that we're preaching and the word that you hear when you play a tape, just like we were listening to that tape a moment ago, the thought expressed is the word. So the word is expressing the thought. So you're the thought. Now, where we're getting to is that thought is expressed in Matthew 13. We're getting to in a moment. That you are part of God. You're an attribute of God, and that thought of God had to be expressed. And on the other side of the equation is the word that you hear, which is the seed. The seed preached expresses the thought. I need to slow down. I know this is weighty. The voice of the sign, Brother Branham said, there was a little woman, a prostitute, up here, was black as it could be. She was ill-famed, but down in her heart, she was predestinated to life. And then when Jesus, the Word, came on the scene, those Pharisees said, this man is Beelzebub. What did it do? It blackened out what little light they had. Jesus said, you are of your father the devil, and his works you do. But when this little foul woman come, and she seen the Word of God, she knowed it. She didn't live it, but she knowed it. And as soon as it spoke to her, she said, I perceive you're a prophet. And she said, I know the Messiah will do this. And he said, I am he. What did it do? It cleaned out the blackness and made it all white. Why? There was a seed laying there, a predestinated seed. That was. He clearly says what that predestinated seed is. It was God's thought before the foundation of the world. Right. Now, if you really start meditating on this, it's almost like a circle. That God knew before the foundation of the world what your reaction would be, so you were part an eternal attribute in his thoughts. And then now looking down, you could say, well, Brother Brown frames it like, well, the reason she believed because she was a thought. Why was she a thought? Because he knew she would want it. Right. He's looking at her reaction before the foundation of the world. She's going to want it, so he can predestinate her. Well, why'd she want it? Because she's a thought in God's mind. Right. Yeah. That's just amazing to me. Doesn't that get y'all excited? That, I love this. This is something. I'm telling you, this is why it's preached in youth meetings and things, because you see this and you start recognizing that you're part of God before the foundation of the world. It's rich now. Amen. He said, and knoweth it not. He said, I was in Christ. You were in Christ before the foundation of the world. He came to redeem his own that was in him, his children that was in him. He came, the word came to express himself and preach the word so that the word would express you. Now here we got the two extremes. Let's meditate on this for a few minutes before we close. Here's the two extremes. some people on the one side, and I've sat across the table from people that believe this. Well, I come to the world with eternal life already in me. This is the left box. I came with eternal life, and when I was born again, it was just like the veil was yanked off of me, and I realized, oh, I already had it to begin with. And like there was a speck of life that would put on a PowerPoint slide or something, or you know, they want to look under a microscope and say, well, you already had eternal life in your soul when you come. And when you were born again, they're redefining what it means to be born again to say, well, you already had it to begin with. And when you were born again, you just realized that you already had it. There's a truth to that, though. There's a truth to that, but you can't make it that you already had the life of God like that. There's a quote in the Message Identification that says, well, you were born in sin, shapen in iniquity. You come to the world speaking lies, and there was nothing in there. There was nothing. But then you look at the quote in the Thinking Man's Filter, and he said, down in there, down in your soul was eternal life. It was always in there. Well, hold on now. You got to reconcile those two things. So that's what we're trying to do. There's nothing in there, but there's something there. And what that something is, it's a concrete thought of the living God that is so concrete that those attributes could shout for joy before the foundation of the world. So it's something, but it's nothing. Now, that's why it's difficult to articulate. It's something, but it's nothing. So you on the left-hand side, you go to the extreme, well, I come to the world already with eternal life. Well, hold on now. What are you talking about? And then on the other side, there was nothing there. There was nothing there until you heard your first sermon. The seed is the word. And so because the seed is the word, nothing happened at all. And there was nothing going on before I heard my first sermon. Now, hold on then. Then you wipe away all the predestination. You're wiping away all the foreknowledge. You're wiping away that God could breathe this one to this one and this one to this one. That God was, that you had an angel watching over you from your birth because God knew that you would receive it. You're wiping away all that because you're looking at it so dogmatically the other side. So that's those two extremes. There's a balance right there in the middle that is addressed by Matthew 13. So if you look at Matthew 13, it's the parable of the sowers. And the parable is the seed is the word. And the other parable, the seed is the children of the kingdom. So in one parable, you've got the attributes of God waiting to be expressed. In the other parable, you've got the word that is the seed that's going to express those attributes. Now, these two parables are extremely important to understand this principle. And you won't find these two parables in any other gospel. Luke, Mark, any other, all the other ones. It's just the parable of the sower went forth to sow, and all the different, the parable of the four soils. The good ground, the seed on the wayside, and so forth. And where the good ground is, where the seed falls, that's where it's going to come up. But only Matthew 13 is the parable where the seed is the children of the kingdom. And so that puts these two extremes together, that you are a thought. You were a thought in God's mind before the foundation of the world. And Brother Branham would express that thought in his sermons as down in your soul, there's like another you. Where is it? What is it? Something that you could put under a microscope? Somebody that's like standing like another body or something? No. But that's the way that Brother Branham expressed it, is that there's something else. What is it? It's something that God knew that you would come to, a target in your life, that he was, that's why this message had to come, to bring us to the place that God thought of us before the foundation of the world. And see, the thought is not just you being born again, but you coming to an adopted son and all those things, that the word would be so fully expressed in the bride's in this last day, that you would be the living and full expression of the Son of Man revealed in this day would be the expression of the thought, the attribute of God. Amen. So he would say, now we're going to get into some quotes. Now, see, if you don't really understand these things, then you hear somebody preach it over the pulpit and you'll shy back from it. And you're like, I think he's saying something that he's not. So let's read some of these more difficult quotes. The God who is rich in mercy, he said, many of you can fellowship with me on this thought. When you was a little boy or a little girl, you would walk around and there would be certain things that would just wear, it wouldn't bother the other kids. Now, he's talking about before you ever heard anything about the gospel.
Right.
Now, this is what stumbles us here. Before you didn't know nothing about the gospel. Like Brother Branham sitting beside that river. He didn't know nothing. When you was a little boy or a little girl, you would walk around and there would be certain things that would just wear. It wouldn't bother the other kids. It seemed like there was something in you that cried out. There was God somewhere, yet you were a sinner. You remember that? Now, I think it's wonderful. We were fellowshipping the other day with some of y'all in here, and you get around the supper table or you start talking about these things, and we all had this testimony. You start testifying, yes, I experienced that. And the other across the table, I did. And you go around, and these believers that are born again, I think it's amazing and astounding how you start getting around with believers, and they've all got this testimony. And I can't help it if somebody doesn't. All I know is I got this testimony. It seemed like there was something in you that cried out. There was God somewhere, yet you were a sinner. You remember that, certainly. Now, what was that? That was that little form of life in you then. Now, there. Hold on a second. Life in me? What kind of life? Not eternal life, like already expressed. But that's why Brother Bram would preach that sermon, "The deep calleth for the deep." It's like the story of the duck in the barnyard. You know you want water, but you don't know what water is. And one day you sniff the water and you get a sense of the water. That's what I've been wanting all my life. There's the water. You were the duck in the barnyard. And then after a while, you heard the gospel. Maybe you went to a church, you picked out this and that and went from denomination to denomination. But one day, you being part of God, you had to be part of the word. And when you heard the word, you know where you come from, like the duck in the barnyard. You know where you come from. You knowed what was the truth. You were always, the seed was in you always. Don't start choking. Now you hadn't heard the word, but yet there was a representation, the thought in you. It was like another William Branham was waiting to come up. There was another Bob Black. This wasn't the Bob Black. When I was a sinner, it wasn't the Bob Black that was supposed to be expressed. It was in me. It was in me, not in me that I could look at like under a microscope or something, or put as a little dot on a PowerPoint slide. But it was in me, something there waiting to be expressed, laying there in the thought of God. And it was going to be expressed by the word, which is the seed, because the seed expresses the word that was the thought of God before the foundation of the world. The word, seeing the word that was in you, that was before the foundation of the world, saw the word and you come to it. Now, there's those two parables in Matthew 13. The word that you heard saw the word and expressed it. And now, like that quote where Brother Ram said, God thought it, he spoke it, and now here you are. Now here you are, Christian, sitting on the pew. The expressed word for your day. So hearing the word is the realization. It expresses a spiritual truth that existed all alone from God's eternal perspective. And God, from God's eternal view, looking over the banister of heaven, you always were eternal. You always were a son of God. You always were part of him. But it had to be expressed here in time. So even before, now here's the clincher that we really want to get. Even before someone consciously chooses to accept and follow God, there's a divine component already at work. Life, though not realized at that time, is waiting to be expressed through receiving the word by faith. And the message communion, and I'll stop right. I guess the musicians can go ahead and come forward, and we'll start winding down with this quote. He said, I used to remember as a little boy, I hope I'm not holding you too long, but no one's sitting out on the creek bank. And this is the quote that I illustrated earlier with that picture of Brother Ram sitting next to the creek. I'd sit there and look around at nighttime, Pop and Mom, they're gone on now to their rest. And them days they were sinners. There was no Christianity in our homes at all. No Christianity in our homes at all.
Right.
I keep stressing that point.
Amen.
So we'll get some. And oh my, drinking and parties and carrying on, it made me sick. I'd take my lantern and my dog and go to the woods to stay all night. In the wintertime, I'd hunt till the party was over, maybe daylight in the morning, come home, wouldn't be over. I'd lay on top of a shed and sleep, waiting for daylight to break. Then I'd think of how that times then being out there in the summertime, get my sticks and put them down for a little windbreak, where if it rained, lay there and have the poles sticking in the water fishing. Now think about him fishing, trying to get away from all that partying that his family was doing all night long. Couldn't hardly get any peace of mind, all that racket and everybody shouting and hollering and laughing. Ah, ah, ah. And he can't stand it.
Yeah.
My old coon dog laying there, I'd say, looky here, you know, last winter I camped right here one night. I built a fire right here when I was waiting for my old dog here to tree, and I had a fire here. It was froze 5 inches deep in the ground. But little flower, where did you come from? See? Well, and where'd you come from? Who come out here and planted you? And what hothouse did they bring you out of? But what about it? Where'd you come from? See, that little flower, I'd say, why, it was froze and everything, and I built a fire on top here. Besides the freezing element, there was a heat element laying here on a big old log where I burned you. And yet, here you are, and you're alive. Where'd you come from? That flower was the expression of something that looked like there wasn't nothing there. He burned a fire on top of where that flower come from. And now, same thing as you and I. Where'd you come from? What was it? There was another William Branham. See, a little spot of eternal life down there from the genes of God, the Word of God that was placed in there. Each one of you can think of similar things. See, it was working. God bless you, saints.
Amen.